This is Separate Not Equal, the Halefield Pairing, a community-based history project from Hennepin History Museum. The challenge to racial covenants, residential and school segregation, was championed by white, black, and Jewish families in South Minneapolis that fought to desegregate Hale and Field schools. The racial covenants limited where black people could live in South Minneapolis. The pastoral Minnehaha Creek and Parkway actually worked as a Mason-Dixon line, a color line that walled off the whites-only space of South Minneapolis from the creek to the city's southern border. Landmarks and locations in South Minneapolis were well known as segregated spaces. McCrae Park, just off Chicago Avenue, and the Red Owl Store at 39th and Nicollet were regarded as black locations, while Pearl Park in the Diamond Lake area and the Red Owl on Cedar in the Parkway, where a Lunds Byerly's now stands, were identified as white space. So families, many from the diverse Field School and some from the essentially all-white Hale School, worked at the district, legal, and neighborhood level. Their strategic plans to desegregate Hale and Field included leadership positions of the PTA, the Parent Teacher Association, partnering with school administrators, and coffee parties to break down bias and build up rapport between the families from the two schools.
The district wasn't doing anything. So I remember that was the year that my husband was PTA president at Field, and lo and behold, I was vice president. I don't think anyone else wanted it. And I remember Nelson and I sitting down, and he said, well, maybe it's worthwhile being president because we should pair these schools.
These were bright children. They came from bright families who read and talked and taught their children to have respect and whatnot like that. And they were just kind of being cast aside. So when Marge and Nelson came along with this idea, why wouldn't we jump on it?
The administration, Davis, and they didn't know where to go, how to proceed, because what do we do next? They gave us direction, one direction, and it was to have coffee parties, which was smart of them. I'm not sure we were starting to do it on our own, but we started having coffee parties at Hale and at Field in people's homes, and those were quite effective, I think. It did change some people's minds.
Or Brad Benson, who was the principal here at Field at the time, would call sometimes and he'd say, Alberta, can you get me 10 moms at 8:07 at 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
We got a nursing baby. We got a toddler.
Yeah.
Another mother would take those children.
Yeah.
You take the nursing one with you. And we pile into somebody's station wagon
and do it.
We'd be at 8:07 at 10 o'clock.
But the whole thing took about 2 years when I look back, and I know I felt I had to go have an operation and have a phone removed from my ear because it was 2 years. I mean, I'd get up in the morning and my kids would come home at 3 or 4 o'clock and I was still in my pajamas on the phone. And but there were barriers. We just had to keep going. And then it happened. And then we had a party. I remember the party. We went out to a Chinese restaurant that was out in St. Anthony Village or Fridley. It was one of the first Chinese restaurants around. And we collected money from everybody for the meal. And I remember my husband and I went up to pay the bill, and we were short. We looked at the man who owned it. He was Asian, and we said, oh, we're short. And he said, forget it. I went to Field. It's on me. I'll never forget that.